In your Bibles, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. In other words, there's the message itself, and then there's the presentation of it, the delivery of it. And those are two studies in their own right. They both deserve separate and careful treatment. Here's the message. Make sure we're absolutely crystal clear. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. On the message itself, this is the message we're to bring to people. And then as a second issue, it's how are we supposed to do that? What is the work involved in getting that message that we've been learning about the gospel to unbelievers so that they have the opportunity to believe? It's such a privilege that God has said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to use believers to get the message to non-believers. I'm going to use the church as the only vehicle that God has on earth to get that message out. It's very interesting, just as an aside, that after the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, do you realize that he didn't preach the gospel? He didn't preach the gospel. Why? Because he wanted to make crystal clear that it was going to be the church that would do that. He appeared to people, don't get me wrong. But one way God could have done this was to take the resurrected Christ and just bring him all over the world and then give the gospel to people. That would have been quite a powerful statement. That's not what he did. And this, I say that only to just remind ourselves of the privilege and the importance that is placed upon every one of us as being members of the royal family of God. That he actually said, no, it's time for the apostles to go do their work, to continue the work. And then after that, every generation, there would be those that would be called as evangelists. But then again, every believer has the calling and the responsibility to preach the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us, each and every church age believer, the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Notice that again. He has committed to us, you, me, as individuals and as a body, the word of reconciliation, the good news that God has reconciled man to himself through Christ's work on the cross. Therefore, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. You can put your name in there if you're a born-again believer tonight. You're included. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin, Christ, sinless, to be sin, the sin offering on the cross, on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But the key is in verse 20, that each and every believer is to be an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador is somebody who represents his home country and brings the messages that the sovereign of that country wants to bring to the rest of the world. And that's what we are to be. We're to bring the message of the gospel to this world, this dying world, unbelievers who haven't heard the good news yet. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So we're going to move tonight from what the gospel is, the message itself, to how to present the gospel, how to do this, how to be an ambassador for Christ. We want to lead people to Christ, but how? How is it that that work is done? Again, just to be very clear about this, there's the message itself, the gospel, the good news. And then there's the presentation of the message, which is its own study, which has its own principles, its own methods, the presentation of the message. How do we go about presenting the gospel to the unbeliever? How do we conduct ourselves? How do we set it up and so forth? It's its own careful study, and the Bible has a lot of information about the second part as well. We've seen how much information the Bible has about the message itself, what Christ did on the cross, his resurrection, believing faith alone in Christ alone, over 150 verses say that alone, faith alone in Christ alone. So we've seen a lot in the Bible, the New Testament in particular, about the message itself and making sure we're experts on that. Now it's time to say, okay, now that I know the message I'm supposed to give, how do I go about giving it? How do I present the gospel? What are the principles involved? That's the second study, the second doctrine, the doctrine of witnessing, the doctrine of evangelism. There's the message itself, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then there's the presentation of that message, which is evangelism, the doctrine of witnessing. If I could use one of my favorite ways to illustrate all kinds of things, and that is food, think about it this way. There's the meal itself, anytime, all right? You think about Let's just say, for example, that you know this steak restaurant, okay? And it has the most fantastic filet mignon you've ever tried. And you want all your friends to have just experience that meal. Okay, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want all our friends. We want everybody to hear the gospel. But there's the meal itself. And there's a recipe for that. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How do you prepare it? But then there's the presentation of that meal. How do you get to the point where someone's actually taking the knife and the fork and eating? So they would be convincing the person that they ought to go out to dinner with you. Bringing them to their restaurant, making sure that they get from here to there. Finding your friend, I should even say that first of all. Finding your friend, then convincing them, then bringing them to the restaurant. Then they get the menu, then there's an appetizer. And then the presentation on the plate, oh look, it looks so fantastic. Then the invitation to eat, you know, mangia, mangia, if you were an Italian. And then the eating itself. And then the follow-up. Hey, we better meet at the gym tomorrow because I think we just took 2,000 calories in. So do you see there's a difference between the meal and presenting it so the person eats and gets to enjoy it? That's the difference. There's the gospel and then there's witnessing. And they're two distinct but very, very important studies in the Word of God. So once you've mastered what the meal is, the message, which we've been working on, the next step is to learn and observe how those who are skilled and gifted in the practice of presenting the gospel have gone about their work. Let's take a look at this. Let's digest this. This is important, no pun intended. The next step, and this is as a student of God's word and somebody who hopefully has a heart for the lost and a desire to give the gospel. The next step now that you know what the message is to now learn and observe what? How people who are skilled and gifted in this practice, what practice? Presenting the gospel, have gone about their work. And there's a rich storehouse of information about this too, beginning in the Bible itself, but also down through history. You can find examples through history of fantastic evangelists and who have done this work. And so you can study their lives. How did they go about it? What did they all have in common? What was unique about the one that went to a foreign country or the one that was in the streets of the big American cities? And how did they do their work? So this is a whole study and a practice to become an expert, first on the message, but now on the presentation. How do we do that? As Timothy tells us in 2 Timothy 4:5, we are to be sober in all things. We are to endure hardship. We are to do the work of an evangelist and fulfill our calling. So there's the message of the gospel itself, and then there's the presentation of it, evangelism. And they're partners. The message, the gospel, and evangelism are witnessing are partners. And they're distinct entities. Again, you know how I love to repeat certain things I want to make sure you're clear on. The gospel is the good news, the message we're here to announce to people. The presentation itself, or the prescription rather itself, the solution. But then there's evangelism, which is the work of the ambassador. Now, I'm just going to briefly map this out tonight, just to kind of give you an overview of, okay, so I get it. There's a message, there's a how-to, or the presentation of it. And we're going to study the how-to. So break it down for me a little bit. Okay, I will. There's the work that leads up to the announcement ahead of time. And that's where a lot of the art is. How do you bring somebody to the point where they're ready to listen to the gospel? That's number one. Then there's the announcement itself. And then there's the work that follows after somebody's believed. So you can think of this as in three stages, if you will. Okay? I'm actually going to break it down into five later. That's how you learn. You know, you get it simple, a little more complicated. But basically, lead them to the point where they're ready to hear the announcement. Give the announcement itself, which hopefully by now those of you who have been here for most or all of the messages to date have got that fresh and you got tools to be able to know what the message is, the gospel. And then the work that follows after somebody is believed. And that's important too. A lot of people want to pretend as if hearing the gospel and believing is the end of everything, is the end, and you just walk away. Let me tell you something. That's the beginning. It's the beginning of this great life that we have. It's the beginning of them being in the body of Christ. They need a lot of help right after that. They're going to get attacked right after that, because once the kingdom of darkness has lost the strategic battle of them believing in Christ, now they're going to get work on the tactical side of preventing them from learning the word of God and growing up spiritually. So it's very important those who have the privilege of leading somebody to Christ also leads them into how to live their spiritual life. teaches them the importance of learning the Word of God on a regular basis, helps them find the place where they're going to grow, and so forth. So it's leading up to that announcement, the announcement itself, and then the work that follows once a person has believed. And I think at that point, I think that's enough for my part of this message tonight. Because what I want to do next is lead into the exciting part of tonight, which is the fact that Mr. Steve Cantrell has, through in different ways, made it apparent that he is working on discerning a spiritual gift in the communication area. And because of what this series is all about and the fact that that gift appears to be in the area of evangelism, it was a perfect lining up together of that discernment with where we are in this class. And I couldn't resist giving the opportunity and inviting him to see. And he courageously said yes, which I can tell you stories about. I won't, about lots of different ways in which that has worked in men. But he said yes right away. And so I'm very excited. And what I want to do now is just to briefly give you a little introduction to who this man is. I'm going to call you a young man. I hope you don't mind that. Because as far as I'm concerned, you're young. Anybody younger than I am is a young man. But I want to introduce him to you tonight. As I mentioned, it looks like he has the spiritual gift of evangelism. He's been doing the work of an evangelist for several years now and discerning what the Lord's calling is more specifically on his life. One of the functions of a local assembly is to encourage men with communication gifts and give them a forum for exercising and refining that gift. And that's what we have the privilege of doing tonight. And Steve will be sharing some of the insights he has gained from the work of evangelism, which I briefly introduced tonight, of witnessing, an introduction to what evangelism is in a few moments. And as I mentioned, I know you'll show him the same courtesy that you show me when I'm behind this pulpit. But I want to first give you a little bit of information about Steve Cantrell. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ in 1993. He was in a public bathroom. You don't mind me sharing that, right? All right. And because this amazing story, you know, we're all in public bathrooms, all right? That happens in the airport or whatever. And he was calling out to God to try to, I don't know, we use that, I don't need to know anymore. Calling out to the Lord to just find out what life was all about. And somebody that had been there before just happened to leave a pamphlet containing the gospel of Jesus Christ at that very moment. And so he took it, he read it, and he decided to believe in the Lord, and he was saved. So never underestimate the written word, by the way, as a vehicle for communicating the gospel. He had no one to explain what had happened to him, but it was right when his future wife, Alicia, and he met, and both of them were feeling a tremendous pull in their lives towards finding out more about who this God was. And so they decided that they would start to go to church together, and they went to a Catholic church for a while. But then God brought another person into their lives, a group of people, and a softball team, a men's softball team, who were, I guess, Bible thumpers, would that be the right way to call it? Said kindly, but seriously, they were excited about the Word of God, and they told Steve that he had to get his own Bible and start reading it every day, and he did. And he began discovering Bible teaching on the radio, and he couldn't get enough. And so he started reading the Bible, and he read it from start to finish several times. And he started to realize that the church he was at, what he was hearing was happening there didn't match what was in the Bible. Or what he was hearing on the radio, which he was also doing at the time, listening to Bible teachers there. And so they realized, both he and his wife Alicia, that there was a clear difference between the truth of the Word of God and what religions are telling you. And the Holy Spirit would lead them to where they needed to be to learn the truth. And so for the next 7 years, they kept reading the Bible themselves, listening to the radio. But then one day, and over that whole time, he was being changed through the Word of God, but something was missing. He realized that he wanted to be in a congregation so that he could be equipped and equip other people. He wanted to know what his purpose and place in God's plan is. And so the day arrived when he was led to another place, an out-of-the-way Baptist church, and he spent 10 years there, and he learned a lot of sound doctrine there, but he heard the calling again. Ten years after that, part of it was because he went on a mission trip to El Salvador, and there was a fantastic evangelist there who recognized Steve's gift as they were on the streets giving the gospel to people. it became apparent to this man that Steve had that gift of evangelism, communicating the gospel. And from that day forward, he knew that he had to move on, that there had to be more to the calling on his life. And so he also realized at that time that God was leading him somewhere else, and he prayed about that. And 2 weeks later, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, as well as some circumstances, which are, by the way, one of the ways in which we can discern God's will. Just we call them coincidences, but they're really not. And so, and confirmation from outside sources brought him here to us, to Lighthouse Bible Church, to take that next step in his spiritual life. So it's a tremendous humility, I think, that we need to have when we understand how God works. And I know many of you could talk about similar stories in your own life as well. I never get tired of hearing them. They're all unique, and so I thank you for taking the time to explain how it was for you, Steve. He's got a beautiful family. In fact, he led several families here with him when he came. And he's got a beautiful family, his wife, Alicia, his children, Madison and Carson. Bill and Helen, his parents, are here tonight with him. His good Fred, Ted, Conowall here too. His family's here. They've done work together in this country, in our geographic location over at the Broward Outreach, bringing the gospel to people in need there. And so, again, I just ask you to please keep them in prayer. And we're going to take a moment now where we're just going to take a break for maybe a minute or two to give Steve the opportunity to set up and to speak what's on his heart about at a high level, what evangelism is all about and how he's seen it in his work. So let's just take a break for a couple of minutes, play music, whatever, and then we'll get started again.
Good evening. It's very strange standing up here behind the wheel for the first time. It's creepy. Am I too high, Mark? Okay, first I just want to take a second and say that when we first got here, we saw really clearly the faithfulness of the people here. And how long you guys have been together, and your faithfulness to sound doctrine, and what God has provided for you in this building, and bringing pastor down here, this place just screams of a faithful church. And you know, like at the end of the second chapter in the book of Acts, we see their faithfulness to sound doctrine is what caused God to grow the church. And we're seeing that happening here. I've only been here for less than a year, and I've already seen it grow since we've been here. And I feel kind of strange because I feel like I'm standing on your shoulders because you guys did all the work. I mean, we know God did the work, but physically you guys did all the work. And then some stranger gets to come in here and stand up behind the wheel and drive. And it's funny that you, the Holy Spirit, had you use the word vehicle for the local church. This is the vehicle on earth that God uses to carry out his plan. And as I was thinking about coming in and speaking, I had thought of the analogy of when I was in El Salvador, and the pastor of the church we were with always drove the bus. It was a big yellow school bus, and it was in the third world on narrow roads, dangerous roads. The roads are crazy there. And we felt okay when he was driving. And one day, a great brother in Christ, Luis, said he wanted to drive. And we're all like, oh my goodness, this is not going to turn out good. And here he is driving the vehicle that God was carrying out his work through. And the first thing I thought of was, this is not going to turn out good. But as it, you know, we kept going down the road, I realized it was never Pastor Jim driving. It was the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't Luis driving, it was the Holy Spirit. So as strange as it is for you to say, who is this guy getting up here behind the wheel? I'm just as nervous being behind the wheel. So I don't know if I'm saying this to help you relax as much as I am helping me relax, knowing that it isn't me driving, it's the Holy Spirit. And I know Pastor would say, would be the first person to say, it's never him when he's up here. It's, we know what the Bible says. It's the Holy Spirit as our teacher, and he's the one who speaks through us and communicates the Word of God to everybody. But it's a privilege to be here with what you guys have done here and to get to stand on your shoulders, and it's an even bigger privilege to speak, you know, on behalf of the God that created the universe. So let me take a quick second and pray. Thank you, Father, for dying for us. Thank you for your plan being for people like us to carry out your work, the ministry of reconciliation. You're just so good to us. You're so merciful. You're so gracious. And again, the fact that you want us to carry out your work is an incredible honor and an incredible privilege. And I just ask you, Father, to clearly communicate what you want to be said tonight through me, and grow and change each one of us to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. We've led up to evangelism. We started going through what is the gospel. And like Pastor talked about tonight, the gospel is the message. And then evangelism comes in, which is the process of delivering the message to people. So, as an introduction, what is evangelism? When you open up the dictionary and you look at the definition of evangelism, it says the preaching, proclaiming, or making known by an open declaration. So that's the preaching, proclaiming, or making known by an open declaration. And so in our case, it's the gospel. So it's openly preaching or proclaiming or declaring the gospel. And we just heard again tonight that there's a difference between the gospel and evangelism. So our job is to preach, proclaim, and make known by an open declaration the good news, which we've been learning for weeks now, which is salvation through Christ's death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. We're going to look at evangelism, the method of doing that. Evangelism is not complex. I mean, that word sometimes scares people. You immediately sometimes think, do I have to stand in a stadium in front of people to do this? Do I have to stand in front of a crowd of 200 people on my street corner and do this? Evangelism is not complex. It's not a terribly difficult endeavor that can only be carried out by men and women who have attained some super elevated spiritual status by graduating from a Bible college or a seminary and successfully going through all the stages of spiritual growth and earning the right by a long spiritual resume of service and religious deeds. Sometimes we seem to think that, but that's not the case. It is for every Christian, no matter where they are in their spiritual growth. Your experience or lack of it, your being spiritually aged or being a spiritual baby, none of that has any bearing at all on every single one of us being capable of evangelizing. However, there is one thing that is required for us as everyday saints to be ambassadors for Christ, and it's a good grasp of core Bible doctrines. We can't think that we can kind of sit on our rears for years and by osmosis learn all the things that we need to know out of God's Word to be able to be effective ministers, effective ambassadors, carrying out the ministry of reconciliation, which was talked about earlier. We don't gain an effective knowledge of God's Word and the ability to give it out by sitting around other Christians for a long time. And we don't get the knowledge to be effective ambassadors by sitting in church every Sunday. And we don't get the ability by going to a bunch of Christian events or being around things that have to do with the Christian life. Being around those things doesn't make you an effective ambassador for Christ any more than sitting in your garage long enough makes you a race car. God has given us the way, and the way is the Word of God, is our personal time in the Word of God, and most importantly, the gift of pastor-teacher. We see in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. And there's the four in there. That list of people is for a purpose. It is for the equipping of the saints. And again, that doesn't eliminate our personal time in the Word of God, but the vehicle, like Pastor mentioned earlier, that he uses to carry out equipping us to be able to have core Bible doctrines to be effective ambassadors is the gift of pastor-teacher, the gift of evangelist. That's the way. And again, we know it's not those men. We know that it's the Holy Spirit of God. And we saw in weeks past as we went through the study on the spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit gives it. Jesus gives that person to a location. And God handles the results. None of it is that man. But that is the vehicle that he's chosen, as pastor, teacher, and evangelist. And our personal time in the Word. And an analogy that I was thinking of is buying a washer or a dryer or a refrigerator and going to Lowe's. The guy who's there selling them has to know everything, or a car. Any salesperson has to be well-versed in all of the details of that. How does it work? All those things. Because if you show up and you say, you know, how does it work? And if the person says, I don't know, it makes things cold, you know, or it makes things hot. That person says, oh, well, actually, the way it works is, you know, and they break it down for you. And that's a good ambassador for Whirlpool, you know. What does it cost? What if somebody says to us, okay, this Jesus stuff, salvation, what does it cost? Well, if we say, well, I'm not sure, you know, I just know it's there. I don't know what it costs. We're not being a good ambassador for Christ. The same way that a salesperson has to study and know all the ins and outs. How does it work? What does it cost? Why do I want this one and not all the other ones that are out there? We have to be ready to answer all those because, again, the analogy of the salesman. When he doesn't know what he's doing, he'll lose the person like that. And I also want to stop for a second and mention this idea of having to have this arsenal of Bible doctrines to be able to be an effective ambassador for Christ doesn't mean that God is never, ever going to have you share the gospel with somebody until you reach that stage. Until you become a master of all Bible doctrines, you're never, ever going to have to share the gospel with anybody. He's going to have you at the stage you're at, run into the right person at the right time who wants what you have, and not more than what you have. So yes, eventually a sound grasp on all of the core doctrines of the Bible to be an effective ambassador for Christ is necessary, but that will not stop him from using you in the process of your growth. As a baby, he'll have you sit next to somebody who has a baby question that you can answer. But as you grow and you become more equipped and you become a real and effective ambassador for Christ, is no other way but by sound biblical doctrine. And again, the two ways is, first and foremost, is the spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit working through a pastor and a teacher. And then your personal time in the Word of God every single day. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Now again, we don't get ready by doing nothing. We're commanded to be ready. 1 Peter 3:15. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. And look at those words. Always being ready. We have to always be ready. And again, where you're at in your stage of growth is something that God knows. He's not going to have you have to have a, you know, answer a, or write a thesis on Bible doctrine if you just got saved a week ago. He's going to allow you and set up situations where you can share what you know with somebody who needs just what you know. But 1 Peter 3:15 tells us very clearly that we are to be ready. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. We heard, right before I got up here, we heard Pastor say that we are given the ministry of reconciliation. We can't be given the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling lost humankind back to God and not be ready. We have to be ready. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 shows us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there we see again, it starts off with the word study. Doesn't happen by osmosis. we have to study. We have to put in the time. We have to be like that salesperson that's read every detail on how that refrigerator works so he knows how to explain it to someone. Study, and this is why. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Of course, God is never ashamed of us, and we don't have to feel ashamed in front of God, but there's a principle here that we need to be ready. We need to study so that we don't feel ashamed when somebody asks us something and we just don't know what to say and we shrug our shoulders and we walk away. Now, there's times when someone is going to come to you and they're going to ask you something. That is above where you're at in your growth right now. And there's ways to handle that, and we'll deal with that some other time, but there's honest ways to tell somebody, hey, I'm not sure right now about that, but I can find out, and I'll get back with you. So there's ways when the instance does come up where somebody does ask you something over your head, we don't act like hypocrites, and we don't act puffed up like a lot of people think Christians are. We honestly tell people, I don't know that right now, but you know what? I know where I can find it, and I'll find the answer for you, and I'll get it to you. But the point of that verse is we need to study so that we don't feel ashamed when somebody asks us and we don't have any answers for them. So simply having a handful of verses ready does not make us an effective, equipped ambassador for Christ. Because again, back to the analogy, if that person can have two or three facts on a piece of paper, but when you really start asking them really detailed questions about how that car works and how does the combustion work, and you get into the real questions, after they're done with the third pat answer they have on their sheet of paper, then they're shrugging their shoulders. So simply having a few verses that are ready does not make us an effective, equipped ambassador. We must have a sound understanding of core doctrines to be able to effectively carry out the ministry of reconciliation. And some of those core doctrines are, what is the gospel? We've been going over that now for weeks. What is grace? What if somebody said to you, what does that mean? What is grace? Are we equipped to answer them? The unique person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's work on the cross, which consists of redemption, propitiation, reconciliation, justification. The ministry of the Holy Spirit and common and efficacious grace. And I'm sure that all of these are going to be covered in as we go through basics. So we're going to get to all the answers to all those kind of core doctrines. And there's more. Unlimited atonement. Eternal security. What is that? I heard this other guy say I could lose my salvation. Why? Well, here's a verse in the Bible that says you can lose your salvation. Well, no, there's not. Are you ready? Are you equipped? Or are you going to... Again, God is not ashamed of you, and he'll never be ashamed of you, but are you going to stand there and feel a little bit ashamed because you don't know how to answer somebody as a spokesperson for God? And again, I'm sure we'll be covering all of those core doctrines as we go through. Pastor takes us through the basics. Let's take a quick second and mention spiritual gifts, you know, at this point in what we're talking about. Not every believer has the spiritual gift of mercy. But we're all called to be merciful. And not every believer has the gift of giving. The supernatural spiritual gift of giving, but we're all called to give. And you can go down the list, every single spiritual gift. Not everybody has the gift of evangelism. But we're all called to be able to evangelize. So there's a special category of evangelist. There's a special category of giver. There's a special category of exhorter. The supernatural variety that God gives, which has nothing to do with the person, it's his power flowing through that person in a supernatural way for the building of the body, etc., that doesn't eliminate that every single one of us has to be able to act in every single one of those ways. We all have to show mercy. We all have to give. We all have to be able to evangelize. And again, as you're growing and you're learning all these things, God is not going to stick you in a situation where you're not equipped to answer somebody. Wherever you're at in your growth, he's going to give you opportunities. He's not going to wait for 25 years until you know every single core doctrine inside and out, and then he says, okay, now I'll let you talk to somebody. He's going to have you bumping into people all the time. He's going to have you answering them at what level you're at. And if you run into a situation where it is over your head, we answer honestly. We answer a way that's above the way the world answers. Most of the time it's puffed up or full of baloney, or they talk out of their ear or the other side of their mouth. And we can honestly tell them, hey, I don't know that. That's a little bit above me right now, but I know where I can go to find it out, and I'll find it, and then I can give it to you. So, again, not every believer has the gift of evangelism, but we're all called to be evangelists. We work with people. We have neighbors. He didn't put us here just to be saved and know we're going to heaven. He put us here with full intention of making us ambassadors for Christ at the workplace, at the softball field, in our schools. I already touched on Ephesians 4:11 through 12, which clearly explains the way God equips each and every believer who doesn't have the gift of evangelism to be able to evangelize, and it's through the pastor teacher and through the evangelist. Now, a couple weeks ago, as we were going through the beginning of the spiritual gifts, we saw that those gifts are given by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And they're given without merit. And the fact that it's without merit is evident in me. And I know the pastors said the same thing. If you knew what was inside me, I know what's inside me, and I can't believe he picked me to have one of the gifts that I have to stand up and talk for God. We all have stuff inside, and thank him for his mercy and his grace, and thank him for his incredible plan where he looked down at us and said, I'm not going to come down and split the world right wide open and tell everybody. I'm going to use you. And even though we all don't have each of the spiritual gifts, he's still going to operate through us. His power is still going to operate through us when we make ourselves willing and able and available to him. So even evangelizing, sometimes I'm still afraid of the word evangelism and what that means. And every time I have to go somewhere, the human side of me, and this point always makes me marvel at Jesus Christ, that he was 100% human and 100% God. How he could not be afraid to go and stand and talk in some of the places that he talked blows my mind. When I get ready to go somewhere and talk, I'm still horrified. I still have to renew my mind. I still have to go back to God's word. I still have to make sure I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. But once I get there and I start talking, something else happens. And he takes over and words come to my mind that I wasn't even thinking of. Sentences come out that I wasn't planning on saying. And even though every person does not have the gift of evangelism, he will do the exact same thing with you. It's always his power. He will give you the words to say. He will give you the peace when it starts to happen. Evangelizing is nothing to be afraid of. Now, if I have to do it in a week, I'll still be nervous when I get ready to go. But once it starts, he takes over. We're not here to be saved and sit and know we're going to heaven. It's like Monopoly, and we have the get-out-of-jail-free card, and that's all there is to it, and I'm done. No, we're here to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are here to tell people. That's scary because we know all the verses that says if they hated me, they'll hate you. And if you're of the world, they'll love you. But if you're not of the world, they'll hate you just like they hated me. You know, those who live godly in me will suffer persecution. We know all the verses. But that's what we're here for. And he will give you the power to do this. He'll give you the words to use. As you grow, as you're progressing, he'll give you more and more opportunities to do it. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As I was coming here tonight, I was nervous. You know, because I've taught classes before and I've shared the gospel in front of 400 or 500 people. But standing up behind this wood pulpit is a whole different ballgame. And I was so nervous coming here, but I knew it doesn't matter how nervous I am. Once I get there and I start talking and he takes over and it's his power and not me. And I was almost shaking up here like 5 minutes ago, and he's here with me now. And so don't be afraid to evangelize, because when you have to do it and you start doing it, he'll be there for you. All right, so God saves each and every one of us for the purpose of using us to carry out his mission, which we heard earlier is the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling lost man to him. This is done one way only, by us taking the gospel to the world. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It says there, who reconciled us. Who is us? It's to the church. It's to every saved person. To us. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Jack. That us means you. Young people. This is not just for people who are over 30. Young people, if you're saved, it says he gave us. That's every saved person. Don't think that he's going to wait for you to become 30. He's going to use you with your friends at school or on your softball team or skateboard park, wherever it is. He's going to start using you. Don't think that you're going to just get to coast until you become 30. That us means, it doesn't say, he gave those over 30 the ministry of reconciliation. And if you're 80, don't think it's done, because you're not off the hook. Us still means you. If you're saved, you are the us in that verse. So, what this verse also shows is there's no other way that the ministry of reconciliation operates on planet Earth. There's no way. It says, who reconciled us and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation does not happen or be carried out anywhere but through us, the church. It's our job. No one's going to do it but us. Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Again, he's pointing to us. He's sending us to carry out God's message. And you don't have to go there, but I'll read Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Again, it's not a suggestion. If you think you might want to go and do this, no, this is a command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And then again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. Now this verse says, we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. That's a huge word. So if you don't think that you can do this, or you don't think you're going to be any good at this, or you don't think you're an important part of God's plan, look at the word used here, entrusted. God trusts you. He gave something to you because he trusts what you're going to do with it. You would never give something to somebody that you didn't trust. If you knew someone was a thief, you would not trust them with your money. You give something to somebody, something valuable to somebody that you know you can trust. So think about what that means. If you think that you're not big enough or important enough or equipped enough to carry out God's message, it says that he has entrusted you with the gospel, not just somebody who's graduated from Bible college and not somebody over 30. Every saved person. And when we stop and we think about this, that reveals what he knows we're capable of if we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the confidence he has in us. If we're ever going through our day thinking, I'm just kind of new at this and I'm not really good at it and I don't know he's not going to use me for anything big, this verse says that he trusts you to carry out his plan. And again, when we think backwards, that means that he knows what we're capable of if we allow him to grow us and shape us and operate through us. He's confident. He trusts you with the gospel. That verse, to me, didn't really jump out until recently, that we're entrusted with the gospel. That word is huge. All right, so what we looked at so far, we're getting close to 8, is what is evangelism? It is the preaching, proclaiming, or making known by an open declaration the gospel. It is not the gospel. It is the giving out of the gospel. It is the communicating of the gospel. So evangelism is giving out the good news. And then we looked a little bit at how we must be equipped with Bible doctrine. We must, and it's either in chapter 14 or chapter 16 of the Gospel of John where he talks about the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to our remembrance. If we're not putting in regular amounts of Bible doctrine, he's not going to have anything to pull up and bring back to our remembrance when it's time to speak. And it's no different than, you know, putting no money in your bank account and you think you can show up at the ATM whenever you want and withdraw money. Unless you're putting money in, you have nothing to withdraw. And unless you're putting in Bible doctrine, the Holy Spirit is going to have nothing to bring back to your remembrance. So we must be equipped. And again, we also looked at how God is not going to wait until we're completely mature and we're spiritually aged, and we've been doing this for 35 years, to say, okay, now I'll let you speak to somebody. He's going to use us all along the way, but there's a lifelong process of being more and more equipped to be able to explain to everybody, to always be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And again, we looked at that great analogy of the appliance salesman. We have to be ready so that we're not ashamed when somebody asks us to speak for God and we don't know how. But again, God is not ashamed of us. He will never be ashamed of us, but we will end up sometimes maybe feeling ashamed if we're not equipped. And then we went on and we looked a little bit at how evangelism is not only for the person with the gift of spiritual gift of evangelism. It's for every single person because we saw the us. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's every single one of us. We are that important to him. He trusts that if we allow him to do it in us, he will do great things through us, no matter who we are. And then we took a quick look at the fact that we are the only vehicle that he uses to carry out the ministry of reconciliation on earth. It's only the church. It's no one else. We are the only thing. He's not going to come down and stand on the highest point in the world and make everybody listen to him. It's going to come back later on for that. But right now, it's us. We're the only mouthpiece that he uses on earth in this time period. We are what carries out the ministry of reconciliation for him. I'll go ahead and start real quick on the next point, which is, why should we evangelize? I mean, we know what it is, and we know that we're all supposed to do it, but why should we? And again, we just kind of touched on it a little bit, that evangelism is the only means by which people can be saved. We carry out the ministry of reconciliation. Without us, no one's going to get saved. Without the gospel, no one can be saved. Period. Paraphrasing the Bible or directly quoting the Bible or having it in your hands and reading straight from it is the only way that another human being is going to be saved, which makes evangelism mandatory. It's only by the hearing of the Word of God that someone is saved. And Romans 1, chapter 6 tells us why. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So again, it says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. There is no other vehicle that holds the power of salvation. It is the gospel. And God said, that is the only way someone will be saved, is by hearing the gospel. And the only way that I'm going to carry out the process of getting it to people is through the church. The power of God that saves people is the gospel, and we have been, we saw the word earlier, entrusted with it. Please turn real quick to Romans 10, and I guess we can stop there. Verse 17. And most of us know this verse. So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes one way only. It doesn't say faith comes by five different means. It says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So, a quick recap. I'll just stop right there. What is evangelism? It's the process of giving out the good news. And to do that effectively, we have to be equipped. Yes, God will use you as you're in the process of growing and being equipped at different levels of your spiritual growth, but we are to be involved in a progressive growing of our knowledge of sound biblical doctrine so we can become more and more effective and not be ashamed when somebody asks us something. And we also took a quick look at the fact that you don't have to have the spiritual gift of evangelism to be able to evangelize. Everyone is called to evangelize, and he will equip you to be able to do so. When you are under the spiritual gift of pastor, teacher, and you're spending regular time in the Word of God. We also looked real quick at the fact that every one of us has been saved for one purpose only, and that's to carry out the ministry of reconciliation, which is giving the gospel to the lost world. We looked at the verses about how he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He said, I also send you. He said, go therefore. All those are commands that show that we are the ones, we are the vehicle, the church, that he uses to send out into the world to do his job, to do the ministry of reconciliation. And we just touched the very first point, and we'll stop here at, why should we evangelize? Because God's word is crystal clear that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And again, the gospel is the power for salvation. I am not the power of salvation. You are not the power of salvation. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. So I guess we'll stop right there. Should I pray? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for saving us. Thank you for the ministry of reconciliation at one point in each of our lives reaching us. Thank you for the faithfulness of the person that we heard it from. Thank you for the faithfulness of the person that equipped them to be able to tell it to us. We are part of this plan, and thank you for intending to use us moving forward to do the same thing for others. You're such an awesome dad that you would choose us to do this. What a great honor. I just ask you to grow everyone in this church to be a great, great ambassador for Christ. I ask you to use us to do great things. I ask you to carry out in a great way the ministry of reconciliation through the people of this church. And I ask you just continue to change us more and more into the image of your Son. And we love you so much. And help us to not be nervous as we face what you're calling us to do. Help us to be courageous. And we expect to see amazing things that you do through us in the near future. In the only name that we can pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.